that Matthew's gospel brings the public ministry of Jesus, brings it in, begins it with such an introduction by John the Baptist. This ought to give us pause. John the Baptist proclaims God's message to the people in the tradition of the Old Testament prophets, who challenge the people, especially those with power, to live the faith by helping the poor, the widows, and the strangers among them. John the Baptist proclaims that God's word to the people is coming to them in human form, and that the advent of the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire will turn their world upside down. John has no patience with those who claim to have right belief, but whose actions in the world do not reflect what they say they believe. We hear him call the people to repentance because the kingdom of heaven has come near. The reality of which John is aware will demand new ways of living. And quoting the prophet Isaiah, John counsels the people to prepare. He's gone out into the wilderness, and people have followed him into this wilderness in order to prepare. As I said last Sunday, those unfamiliar with the traditions of our church or the church, if one is unfamiliar, these readings might be a surprise. We are not yet celebrating Christmas, but are entering deeply and intentionally into the season of Advent. Advent invites us to prepare for Christmas by considering what the coming of Christ into the world means for us. That when we celebrate the birth of Jesus once again, that we do that, we will have an awareness of what the incarnation, God with us, have an awareness of the gift this is to us, and also what it may call us to in response. Anyone fearing a sentimental Christmas need only spend some time with John the Baptist. A wild man, he looks messy and dirty, kind of a bit crazy, and he came from such a good family. What's he doing out there? He challenged these authorities, and he challenges those who thought they had it all worked out. Not exactly the sort of image or figure you want on your Christmas cards. Or maybe it is, you know, in this crowd, right? Maybe we should get some of those made up Holy Comforter John the Baptist Christmas cards. And on top of all that, today we're being told to repent, to turn around, to be open to being changed and transformed. That's really what repenting means, being open to this transformation by our awareness of just who it is who's coming to us, being born to us. Advent has been called Little Lent in the past. And in the past, in the history of the church, the focus of Advent was more penitential, more like Lent. But that's not really the point of Advent, and that's not how we focus it now. This liturgical season is more joyful than Lent. And, you know, we do things differently. We've got the beautiful blue hangings rather than purple that we have in Lent. But Advent is a little bit like Lent in that both are liturgical seasons preceding major Christian holy days of celebration, and as such are times to prepare. Prepare the way, John the Baptist calls out. We do seek to prepare the way in our hearts, in our lives, for Christ to be born and to reign. John the Baptist went into the wilderness to prepare, to get people prepared, and to share his message of warning, but ultimately his great message of hope and salvation through the one who would be called the Christ. Preparing to welcome Jesus always involves some measure of repentance, because when we go into our wilderness, away from all that keeps us busy and distracted, we find God's great love. We find God's great love for us, calling us closer, which often involves letting go of an idol or two to be more focused on God. In this John the Baptist mode of proclaiming Christ, I think of a current author, a current Christian living among us, Shane Claiborne, who in his book entitled The Irresistible Revolution, Living as an Ordinary Radical, describes his realization that welcoming Jesus into his life is really going to mess things up for him. If you're wondering who this author is, Jim Wallace wrote the foreword to this book, the author of the magazine The Sojourners, to give you a sense of the tradition in which this book falls. Shane writes, "I know there are people out there who say, my life was such a mess. I was drinking, partying, sleeping around, and then I met Jesus and my whole life came together." Shane goes on to say, "God bless those people, but me, I had it all together. I used to be cool. And then I met Jesus and he wrecked my life." And what Shane means is that before he was really committed and really involved with Jesus, before that, he fit the mold of what success looks like in our culture. He's smart, good-looking, prom king, planning to go to medical school. But as he came to welcome and know Jesus, he ended up spending more time with the poor in the bad sections of town. He came to spend time really getting to know these other Christians around him and forming an intentional Christian community. Very John the Baptist-like, leaving convention behind to answer God's call to him. God's call is different for everyone, and what God calls us to may not look anything like John the Baptist or Shane's call. But for Shane, a key point was moving from being a believer to a follower. And that's interesting. From a believer to a follower. John the Baptist was calling people to move from their thoughts about God to take actions that demonstrated their faith, to move from their heads to their hearts, to move from knowing about God to knowing God and responding to this knowledge in observable ways. I experienced two things this past week that exemplify what a response to knowing something about God's reign and seeking to live in response to that can look like. Of course, the death of Nelson Mandela has called us all and people around the world into this place of remembering and giving thanks for what this one man accomplished in his life, which changed the lives of so many. The death of Nelson Mandela, it touches us, it reminds us. And it's not like I forgot about apartheid, but I wasn't thinking about it last week until hearing of his passing. Our presiding bishop, Catherine Jefford Shorey, issued a statement on Friday, which I think really captures some of our thoughts and our prayers and our hopes following on from his life, from Mandela's life. She writes, "The people of the Episcopal Church join the world in mourning the death of Nelson Mandela, prophet and witness to justice. His leadership spanned decades before and during imprisonment on Robben Island and continuing into the establishment of a nation that aspires to serve the freedom and dignity of all human beings. He helped the world to see a shining vision of the incarnate reign of God. We pray that it was not simply a brief glimpse, but that his labor may be joined to that of others, grounding and growing a world of peace and justice for all. May God welcome this shepherd of peace home in peace." We remember and give thanks for the life of Nelson Mandela today. On a local level, others who seek to make the reign of God visible include those working with the Virginia Interfaith Center for Public Policy. I attended their 31st annual meeting and awards program on December 5th, and I have to tell you, I really felt Christ there. I felt so inspired by these people of many different faiths. There were people of the Jewish, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, and other faiths there who come together to make a difference in the world. In particular, we heard about the efforts of state legislators to pass legislation here in Virginia to give children of immigrants who are not yet in the eyes of the law citizens, to give these children who've grown up here in Virginia their whole lives, to give them the ability to have in-state tuition at our colleges here in Virginia. You know, one of those kids can go on to be someone like Nelson Mandela if we support them in the right way. Isn't that something to think about? The Virginia Interfaith Center supports efforts such as these to respect the dignity of all people, a powerful witness in the world, making a difference in concrete ways. The outreach efforts of our church, as you know, I won't go through them all right now, but I did hear that the food pantry this week was a really spiritual experience for one of the new people working the food pantry. She told me that. And we're helping so many who are suffering right now, especially with the government cuts and the SNAP program. These efforts that we see around us and we participate in here make the reign of God visible. As we move into a new year, how will God call you to show forth in your life what you know and have experienced about God's reign, about God's love, about God's justice? How are you being called to act on your faith? As we prepare for Christmas, we can pray about what the birth means for us, what it's going to mean for us this year personally, and then what we're called to do in response. Part of this journey of knowing God and sensing a call often involves going into the wilderness. Wilderness, of course, can take many forms and naturally leads to turning more to God. Sometimes we're forced into a wilderness because of the circumstances of our lives. Sometimes we actually have to try and create it for ourselves because it's so distracting to be in the world, so many things going on. But when we go to this wilderness, we can sense and know God's love more deeply. And in our culture, simply taking a few hours away from our busy lives, from all that focuses us outside of ourselves, our phones, the internet, we are so involved and connected. But are we connected to the deepest part of ourselves where we know ourselves as God's beloved? It is an interesting thing that we need the wilderness time away to be more fully engaged in deeper ways with the world when we return. The Advent Quiet Day coming next Saturday, this coming Saturday, is designed to give you time to be, to just be, to pray and to get away from everything, to have a little wilderness. I will be offering some reflections, group prayer as well, and Martha, our director of music, will offer music and lead us in singing. And you also have quiet time for personal reflection and contemplation of God. This quiet day, tonight's service of lessons and carols, yes, the weather will help us. Yes, hopefully we'll be here for that tonight. And our Thursday night services during Advent are being offered to give us time to enter into a little intentional wilderness in the sense of being away from the usual things in our lives, giving us time to prepare. Some of the prayers that I'll be using on the quiet day come from the Episcopal Peace Fellowship. These prayers give us words and images for how we can both repent and prepare this Advent. And I'll pray this prayer now. Let us cast away the works of violence and put on the armor of peace. Let us cast away the works of greed and put on the armor of justice. Let us cast away the works of neglect and put on the armor of passion. Let us cast away the works of indifference and put on the armor of the Spirit. Let us cast away the works of anguish and put on the armor of love. Let us cast away the works of anxiety and put on the armor of joy. In your preparation for Christmas this year, may God grace you give you grace and grace you with a particular awareness of what the birth of Jesus means for you, and guide your thoughts, your words, and deeds so that you may acknowledge that the kingdom of heaven has indeed come near. Amen.